Coming up now on 8:15, good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Last week, a series of meetings were held as the Park City School District embarks on plans for possible grader realignments, intra-district boundary changes, reducing start times, and new facilities. On the phone with details, I have Superintendent of Schools, Amber Conley. Good morning, Amber.
Morning, Leslie.
So, what did you have? Three meetings last week, two, I think, open to the public, and a third with the Master Planning Committee?
You're right. So the master planning had a workshop on Tuesday, and then I held two community forums on Thursday evening and Friday morning. Those particularly were videotaped, and the link is available on the website.
Oh, okay. Already up then, okay?
Yep.
Well, it sounds like you've broadened the reach of the Master Planning Committee, and what? So we got recommendations now being made to the former committee members who are now a steering committee, or can you explain that?
I can. So in my presentations on Thursday and Friday, I did an amazing comprehensive job looking everywhere from our growth through our enrollment to our facility capacities, that they're meeting threshold capacities, looking at our intra-district boundaries and how we want to take care of our students within our Park City School District boundaries, and then really looking at what our data is showing us with the needs of our students, and focusing on some programs that are going to require us to have a little bit more space in our facilities. And so we went through that entire presentation, and what we'll be doing is providing a recommendation to the governing board. We have two meetings in April 14th and April the 28th, regarding the grade realignment, which would move us from a preschool to fifth grade model to a preschool to fourth grade model. Then the recommendation to the governing board from the administrative team will be then to go from a 5-6 school, a 7-8 school, and then move our ninth graders back into our high school. So this will be a discussion item on the agenda for April the 14th, and then it'll be a decision item tentatively on the 28th.
So the governing board, you're saying, is the Park City Board of Education?
Or... That's correct.
Okay.
Right. And so one of the moments of clarity has been that we have some very defined curricular and programmatic needs for our students to be able to move to that next level, which really is, although it's been a discussion item with the master planning really is involved with them providing facility recommendations for the programmatic needs of our district. And so in discussions with board leadership, in discussions with my administrative team, we've decided to go ahead and make that recommendation as a standalone outside of the master planning, which really then frees up our master planning, as you know. At our next workshop, we're really excited that we'll be able to start having moving pieces and looking at the Kearns Boulevard of what are our possibilities. As you know, we have that corridor along Kearns Boulevard, and that could be an option for either having a 7-8 school, possibly a 5-6 school, and then as well as we have property throughout the district, one piece being Bear Hollow, and then another at Eckerd Hill Middle School that we do have property there as well that we could expand.
So the school district has hired a woman, Molly Smith, of Think Smart Planning, to do what exactly?
She then, so at our next master planning workshop, which will be the 22nd of April, that will then be the time that she's going to, and also we'll have a better idea of the discussion topics that we have with the governing board on the 14th. She'll be able to then facilitate looking at our campus and some ideas that the community members that are serving on that master planning to really get moving and have specifics on that. I will tell you as well, the agenda as well as the task for that next master planning workshop will be posted prior to the meeting. That way the community is fully involved in what that component is in master planning.
So is she working with VCBO, the firm that you hired to do the master planning, or is she doing her own assessment?
No, so this is, we hired VCBO, and she works under them as part of their team and their company, and has expertise in school district master planning.
All right, so what is it that you actually hope to get from her?
I hope to get some very defined possibilities in looking at our current campus. I know that you're aware that Treasure Mountain not only, and I'll be with you tomorrow morning as well, we have the EPA and their soil report coming out. And also, and I've shared this publicly, that Treasure Mountain has some issues with the pipes itself, which are in the $1 million range of repairs. And so when we look at Treasure Mountain itself, as far as do we want to put the money into that and have it, you know, it is our oldest building as far as, you know, keeping it around for another 5 to 10 years, or do we really want to look at providing a more innovative facility? I'm sure that you're aware that your daughter went through there, that the hallways are packed during passing period, and it really has outgrown the needs of our district.
Molly also introduced a number of education trends at last week's meeting, everything from active learning to STEM to student-directed learning and an integrated curriculum. How many of these, I mean, there was probably a dozen of them, trends does Park City aim to follow?
That is a fantastic question. So in looking at the educational trends, we know that we want to do more problem-based learning, and I think that's one of the excitements of looking at a 5-6 school. We are 5-6 is under the elementary curricular model of the Utah State Office of Education, and so what that would look like is rather than being on a set schedule like our sixth graders are now at Eckerd Hill, it would be much more interdisciplinary teaching where our teachers have the flexibility to teach math, science, English language arts through thematic problem-based type learning. And I think that is one of the things that really helped facilitate that conversation that Molly had. And I would also say that with the help of Park City Ed Foundation, we're planning a community conversation around several books and also a Sundance film. So The Smartest Kids in the World, you'll be hearing more about this. It's going to be one of our community reads for this summer, which will then be followed by a film that was premiered at Sundance this year called Most Likely to Succeed. And what our hopes are is for the community to learn more about these trends, and not only the trends in the nation, but the trends internationally and what other school systems look like. I think that another area that we're starting to embrace this even more has been our PC CAPS program. And as you know, we are moving the CAPS program back into the high school. We will be utilizing the current library space, and with thanks of Anita, our media specialist and our high school principal, we've really been able to embrace that cyber cafe, that more collaborative space where it's not just for the PC CAP students, but also for all periods throughout the day at the high school where they do have the collaborative spaces. They have flexible spacing, presentation spaces, and some really cool opportunities for all of our teachers to engage in that type of environment.
So of those items I mentioned in the introduction, grade realignment, intra-district boundary changes, reducing the start times from 3 to 2, and building new facilities, what's most realistic? I mean, or is the district really just following up on all of them?
It is actually, they're not standalone items. They're all intertwined, and there's lots of factors that are playing into this that since we are... We're growing as a district, and I think that you know that. And again, I'm going to refer you back to our website. There's some presentations that was put together by Todd Hobler, our business administrator, that looks at our growth. And we have had higher than projected growth in the last 3 years, which has caused capacity in our schools. And the capacity is a state statute, that a formula that we have to follow. So it's not something nebulous that we can go into the schools and say, I think that this is what our facility capacity is. It's a very defined formula. And we are, as you know, two of our schools are closed, and we did contemplate closing the high school this year. So we really need to be focused on that it's not just programmatic needs, it truly is facility needs as well, that we're going to have to be very proactive and forward-thinking in planning for our district. As far as there's some other critical things looking at our data that we know that we need to prioritize K-3 English language arts, and the plan is to go with all-day kindergarten for all students in the school year 2016-17. To be taking next year as a planning year, that would make a demand for more space within our elementary schools. again, one of the reasons that a 5-6 school makes sense, or a 5-6-7-8 school makes sense. And then also looking at our dual language immersion program as it continues to grow. We had our first group of students come through Ecker Hill Middle School. And another point of clarification is sixth grade for the dual language is a 50-50 content model. And as you know, Ecker is set on a very specific block schedule, which really has, this year we've managed our staffing. But as the next 2 years, as we bring on another group of Spanish speakers and then also French, we're going to have some significant costs in staffing if we don't do something different as far as following the elementary model for sixth grade.
Now, as you mentioned, you know, we may have a defined formula for growth or for, you know, capacity, but I mean, growth really is an unknown. And as Todd Halber says, he doesn't have a crystal ball. So do you just make a best guess and hope for the best?
It's always an educated guess. And I would say that in working with our partners, Summit County, and also with Park City Municipal, looking at permits that are on board, possibilities that we could, you know, certain subdivisions that are coming on, there is a formula in our education world that we use to try to determine that. But for us to really say there's going to be an X amount of elementary students or high school students, it would be really difficult for us to have that very specific number. But I really think that we have a very, very well-educated projected number.
All right. So what did you hear from those who attended the meetings last week?
I've had many comments about the forums, both on Thursday and Friday. It was very well received once everything was, really the big picture was shared with our community. And again, I would really encourage our listeners to take a look at that video and be able to have what's really driving this. Again, like I said, it's not just one or two items. It really is a very comprehensive look at what our district needs. I would say as far as the master planning workshop on Tuesday, we have met with BCDO as we have very specific timelines that we're trying to meet, and we've restructured for the next meeting, and we're really excited for the work that we're going to be doing in that next meeting. So for those that were there, I would really encourage us, keep coming, keep working with us, and we're going to get some things done.
All right, the next opportunity then for public comment is April 14th at the board meeting?
That is correct, and I'm always available by email, by telephone. We have a master planning at pcschools.us website, or excuse me, email, that anyone can write in if they have questions. And also that goes as far as our business administrator as well. We're at the disposal of our community as far as trying to gather input for the major decisions within our school district. It's an exciting time to be here.
All right, Amber, anything else you want to add?
Just again, we have a couple meetings coming up as far as April 14th. There's a discussion item at the governing board meeting. There, of course, is public comment. Continue to reaching out to your governing board members. And then also on the 28th.
Okay, Amber Connelly, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie. Tomorrow.
Amber Connelly is the superintendent of Park City Schools. KPCW News Time, 8:28. It's 8:29. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour, and in the studio with me with a final recap of the 2014-15 U.S. ski team season, Tom Kelly. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie. And I hear it's going to snow.
Yeah, right. Like 6-12 inches, they're saying, in the mountains. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, crazy.
Just in time for Rotary Ski Day tomorrow at Park City Mountain Resort.
Good. Well, let's have a look. I mean, what kind of season was it for Team USA?
That was really a great season. It's always fun to look back, and particularly when you have a lot of good things to look back on. But we do this calculation to see if we really are best in the world. And in the Sochi Olympic year, we didn't quite achieve that. At Sochi, we were very, very close, but 17 medals didn't quite do it. But we did do it this year. We were one medal ahead of Norway using a little bit of a hybrid count of world championships and also X Games, but we ended up one medal ahead of Norway and a couple ahead of Austria. All told, we had 16 medals at world championships. We had 13 at X Games between free skiing and snowboarding. And the way we approach things, there's really stronger fields in those sports at X Games than there are at world championships, so we count those instead. But all told, we finished ahead of Norway, and we're pretty proud of that.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at it team by team. Here locally, good news was is that Sarah Hendrickson is back.
Yeah, you know, there weren't a lot of medals or wins on the women's ski jumping side this year, but there was a lot of promise. First of all, as you mentioned, Leslie, the fact that Sarah Hendrickson was back, she was at top form. She ended up on the World Cup podium and really had a strong season, albeit one that did have its ups and downs. She had a tough little spell during the month of January, but came back strong from that and wrapped it up with a very strong finish on the big hill at Holmenkollen just a few weeks ago. We also saw the emergence of some new athletes, Tara Garrity-Motes from the state of Vermont, and also Nita England from my home state of Wisconsin, both performing very well in the World Cup, along with Jessica Jerome here from Park City. So a strong year for the women, and I think we're going to see that jump up a little bit more next year as well. On the cross-country side, great finish by Liz Steven, finishing fifth in the Tour de Ski back over the holidays a few months back, including a stunning performance in the hill climb up Alpe Sermis. And then at World Championships, a very, very exciting day in the 10K for the women. It was Jesse Diggins taking the silver medal at World Championships, Caitlin Gregg finishing with the bronze. A very, very historic day for the USA. First ever distance medals for the women at World Championships or Olympics. And then in Nordic combined, both Brian Fletcher and Taylor Fletcher having good years. Still need to figure out the jumping a little bit more, but Brian Fletcher's fifth place finish on the big hill at World Championships was definitely a promising event for him.
Okay. Also had some great results in free skiing.
Yeah, free skiing, a little bit eclectic here, but some great results throughout the season. Maddie Bowman, who won the X Games halfpipe title back in January, unfortunately ended up getting hurt a few weeks ago. Nick Gepper at the X Games back in January won his third straight gold. And then Josh Christensen from right here in Park City, the reigning Olympic champion, had a great end of the season. He won the slopestyle here at the Visa U.S. Freeskiing Grand Prix, and a great finish for him there. And then David Wise also taking the fifth World Cup halfpipe title. We have a really interesting situation coming up this week. We right now have the leaders in the AFP Tour. This is the Association of Free Skiing Professionals Tour, which is generally regarded as kind of the biggest deal in free skiing. Right now leading the overall is Gus Kenworthy and Devin Logan. Both of them, though, are injured, though, so hopefully their leads will hold up through this weekend. But they both had amazing seasons. Gus Kenworthy winning the event here at Park City Mountain Resort at the end of February.
Okay, and in the snowboarding world.
Kelly Clark continued to be the class of women's snowboarding, but the one big one she did not win this year was the X Games back in January. 14-year-old Chloe Kim, who wasn't even old enough to get into the Olympic qualifying last year, was right in the thick of things and got her first big major event win, an upset over Kelly Clark. But Kelly continued her domination. She won here in Park City at the Sprint Grand Prix and then took her eighth Burton U.S. Open title a week later. On the men's side, some interesting new athletes making their way up to the top this year. Taylor Gold taking back-to-back wins to open the season. He won at the Sprint Grand Prix at Copper and then again the next weekend at the Dew Tour at Breckenridge. Lindsay Jacobellis on the snowboard cross side. Those guys just had a horrible season snow-wise. Ended up with only three World Cups and all of those coming over a two-week period in March, plus the X Games and the World Championships. Lindsay Jacobellis continued to be the dominant athlete in that sport, winning both the X Games and the World Championships, but just a tough season for them overall. It was interesting to note, too, that at the X Games, those 13 medals we talked about earlier for the U.S. in free skiing and snowboard, pretty dominant at that event, which really is the Super Bowl for those guys.
Okay, and in the freestyle.
This is one that's really close to home because all of these athletes train right here. We see them each year at the Deer Valley Freestyle World Cup. But World Cup titles on the aerial side, Mack Bohannon and Kylie McKinnon just having outstanding seasons. And they're only 19 years old, and both of them coming home with World Cup Crystal Globes. At the World Championships this year, McKinnon winning the silver medal there. Alex Bowen from the USA, who took Rookie of the Year honors, also picking up the silver medal there. And then on the mogul side, Hannah Carney, who's now a recently moved resident of Utah, going to Westminster College. On the very last event of her career in the World Cup, she picked up a win to match the record of 46 World Cup wins held by Donna Weinbrook. She also took the World Cup title and won gold and silver at World Championships, setting a new record of 8 career World Championship medals. So what a storied career for Hannah Carney. And we didn't get to see her pick up a win in her final event here at Deer Valley, but she was out skiing champion last week, getting in a few runs there, and good to see her here on the street and have her attending Westminster College.
Okay, and with the Alpine team?
Yeah, on Alpine, Lindsey Vonn back in January won her 62nd and 63rd World Cups to take that overall record. She went on to win 4 more, including 2 at the World Cup Finals to take the Crystal Globes in downhill and Super-G. She now has matched Ingemar Stenmark with 19 World Cup titles in her career. She also has the record of 67 World Cup wins. At the World Championships this year, an amazing event over in Vail Beaver Creek, over 200,000 spectators at that. 5 medals for the USA, including gold by Michaela Schifrin and Ted Ligety of Park City. For Ted, it was his 3rd straight World Championship title. He didn't get the World Cup Globe this year, but that World Championship was really, really precious to him. At the end of the season, as we mentioned, downhill and Super-G titles for Lindsey Vonn and the 3rd straight Slalom World Cup title for Michaela Schifrin.
Okay. And then I don't know if you're off to Steamboat or not for the inductee of the Ski Hall of Fame.
Yeah, anxious to get over to Steamboat. It is Skiing History Week in Steamboat this year, an event we had right here in Park City a year ago. And next Saturday will be the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame induction. And as chairman of that Hall of Fame, I'm very excited this year because we have a large group of 10 inductees. Among them is Park City's own Eric Schlope. And I think most folks in town know Eric. He grew up right here in town, right over at Park City Mountain Resort, was a member of the Park City Ski Team and found his way up to the U.S. Ski Team and also the Pro Circuit. And among his many accolades, in addition to winning many Pro Tour events, he was the World Championship bronze medalist in Samaritz in 2003, sharing the podium with Bodie Miller, who won the silver medal that day. So Eric is being honored along with 9 others, including Christina Kosnick, Chris Davenport, John McMurtry, longtime coach and a development leader for USSA many years ago. They'll be honored in Steamboat Springs this Saturday. If folks do want to get over there, there still are a few tickets available. With 10 inductees, though, it's going to be kind of busy over there. But we'd love to have folks come over to Steamboat this week and do a little late season skiing with Billy Kidd and company and be there Saturday night to honor Eric Schlope. And you can just get a hold of me in Park City at the U.S. Ski Team, and I'm happy to get you set up with tickets.
Okay. So in the meantime, I guess athletes get a little bit of a break, but back at it, I guess training starting soon.
Yeah, well, a little bit of a break. I think this is that kind of 2 to 3 week period where athletes really do get a little bit of break. We still have some activity going on at the Center of Excellence, but within about 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be really hopping over there. A lot to prepare for as we take kind of a long lead look in 2017. We're going to be back with Alpine again at Aspen, a very similar event to what we had at Vail Beaver Creek with World Championships. This time it's the World Cup Finals. That'll be in March of 2017. We're also gearing up for the 2018 Olympics in Pyeongchang. We'll get a report when we go to FIS meetings in Bulgaria in 2 months about the status of things there. We are supposed to begin test events there this winter, but time will tell if that will actually be the case. They're definitely behind on a few projects over there, but the latest reports that we're getting from IOC visits is that things are on a pretty good track now for the 2018 Olympics. And then, of course, in 2019, 4 years from now, we'll be right back here in Park City with the World Championships in freestyle, free skiing, and snowboarding at Deer Valley, Park City, and Canyons. Looking forward to having the world come back here to Park City for that event.
Okay, and I guess next month you're hosting once again the USSA Congress.
Yeah, USSA Congress coming up, and before that, next week we have our Athletic Summit where all of our staff and coaches come to town for a week of meetings and budget planning for the next season, and then USSA Congress coming up, and we'll be holding that at the Yarrow Resort. That's coming up mid-May, and that's when all of our USSA leaders from around the country come together to just kind of plot our strategies and tactics for this coming season.
Okay, Tom, hey, thanks, and I guess we're going to try and bring you in on a monthly basis over the summer.
Yeah, we'll be in a monthly basis to keep folks updated. In the meantime, you can check out our websites. And a big thanks to KPCW and all the listeners. It's just great to hear all your comments and the fact that everybody's listening. So thanks very much for supporting our athletes. We love being with you here in Park City and telling this story.
Okay, Tom, thank you. It's Tom Kelly with the U.S. Ski Team. KPCW News Time now, 8:43. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, just last Saturday, Park City Toastmasters sent two of its members off to a local competition in the studio to tell us more about that. I have those who were competing, Stacy Domalski and Suzanne Lifgren. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Leslie.
So, let's see. The competition was held, what, in Salt Lake, Suzanne?
Yeah, it was held in Salt Lake, and it was our area competition. And they had two subject matters, the international speech contest, which Stacy competed in, and the table topics contest, which I spoke in.
Okay, so tell me, what do you do in table topics?
Table topics is an impromptu speech. They give you a sentence or a question, and you don't know what it is ahead of time. And each contestant comes in and speaks on the subject for 2 minutes. And it's kind of nerve-wracking, and you have to kind of formulate your ideas really quickly and put them together in some sort of context. And each contestant goes, and ours was about role models this year.
All right. So what was the question then? I mean, who was your role model? Is that what it was?
Essentially, who do you pattern your life after? Who's your role model?
And so that's given to each person, like, before they walk on stage? Or, I mean, how much time are you given to actually come up with something?
That's as much time as you get, is that sentence to you. And each contestant is held outside of the room, so they don't hear the question ahead of time, so you can't formulate an idea ahead of time. So they literally say, Suzanne Lifgren, who is your role model and why? And you walk up and you say.
And so who did you choose and what did you say?
You know, I had read Amy Poehler's Yes, Please just recently and was really thinking about a quote because they had also asked that in an interview question. And I just kind of went on that idea because the book seemed to be speaking to me at this time.
All right. And then you won the competition.
I did. I was very shocked. And it's a new experience for me. I just joined Park City Toastmasters in January and honestly haven't even delivered my first speech for Toastmasters yet.
So does that say that you're more of perhaps an actress than a speech maker?
Well, you know, I would say that one of the great things about Toastmasters is that it's not just about being brave and being able to publicly speak. It's a lot of it is about leadership, and a lot of it is about formulating your ideas and your content and your story. And I think that's why I joined. So I think it's one of those things that sometimes it's about public speaking for a lot of people, but for other people, it's really about how do I formulate what I want to talk about and do it intelligently?
No, congratulations. That's very impressive. You were one of how many?
In our club, we had 9 contestants. At the area competition, there were 3 contestants.
All right. So you had to win at the local level first to get onto this. Right. So then you go on to other competitions in a similar situation?
Similar situation. I think the amount of contestants changes per competition. The next one is the district, and that's in...
No, next one is division.
Next one is division, and that's in 2 weeks.
All right. So you're going to get a whole new scenario.
Yes, and I won't know what it is until 2 seconds before I speak.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Stacy, you, as we mentioned, were in the international speech contest, and this was a speech that you actually got to prepare for?
Yes, it's a speech that I wrote at 6.5 minutes, and the international contest is supposed to be entertaining but inspirational. And so I spoke on... It's one of those little teeny things in life. I spoke on being slighted 16 cents change at a Starbucks in the Dallas airport and how I got all wrapped up into that. And you don't really need to get wrapped up into that kind of stuff. So it was funny,
okay.
But inspirational, I think, at the end.
So what was the lesson? What was the lesson?
Well, what happened was, in a nutshell real quick, is this waitress, she slided me 16 cents. She didn't give me my change. And when I asked for my change, she kind of gave me pushback. And through a series of events, I didn't get my change. So I stormed away angry, and I found $10 on the floor. But I didn't feel so good about it because I felt bad for whoever lost $10. So What happened was I ended up giving the $10 to a mom and her two cranky toddlers who were at a Sbarro pizza counter who were short the money to get the pizza. So I felt better about it after I left.
So now do you get to use this same speech as you move along
yes,
the competition?
I do. And unless you go all the way to the top, which is the international competition is worldwide. And this year it's in Vegas. Last year it was in Malaysia. I just missed it. And then if you win the semifinal, then if you're one of the 10 finalists worldwide, then you have to give a different speech. So if you get that far, you have to prepare two speeches.
All right. And kind of thinking in the back of your head what you'll do for that?
Yes, I already have an idea for that speech. And I've actually already written it and given it once in Toastmasters. And so if I get that far, I will have about 3 months to prepare that second speech. And so I would go into the international semifinals in Vegas with two prepared speeches.
So how much can you change that 16-cent speech between now and the division?
I can change it any way I want. I can fine-tune it. I can even give a different speech every time if I want. But that would, you know, because every time you give it, it gets a little better and you're a little more polished. And so I think it would be silly to do that, but you could. So I can change it as much as I want between now and then.
Okay, and that happens when, the division? You said a couple weeks?
The 23rd of April. Yeah. And anybody can come. It's at the Shriners Hospital, little theater room there, Thursday night, the 23rd at 7.
All right. And then do you go up with notes, or it's mm-hmm. just kind of a memorized?
It's all memorized, and they grade you, so to speak, on body language and what they call vocal variety, the use of your voice, facial expression. So you just don't get up there and monotone a speech. You have to kind of embody it.
All right. Well, now you could stand in front of a mirror or a video camera or something and
sure.
kind of improve yourself, knowing at least how you would like to improve yourself. With you, what do you do, Suzanne? I mean, you just have, ask me a question.
Yeah, we play that game, you know. It's a lot about reading and kind of having a lot of stories in your mind, so that if they've had questions that are like, describe the color blue, they've had questions like, you know, how could you improve American-Chinese relations? You know, they're all over the board, and it really is about taking the question, thinking about it, formulating it, and delivering it. And so I think the practice on it is really just living life and getting those stories.
Yeah. Again, so you have like how many, like a minute or even that much before you walk in to
no,
deliver?
No, it is.
It's 2 seconds.
It's like this interview.
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking you stuff you know. Okay. Well, again, so the next competition, April 23rd, best of luck to both of you. Anything else wanted to mention?
Just if anybody wants to come out, it's free. So free to the public to come and see.
And if anybody's interested in Park City Toastmasters, we meet Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m., and you're always welcome as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Suzanne Lifgren and Stacey Domalski from Park City Toastmasters, thanks.
Thanks.
KPCW News Time now, 8:51. Still to come, we'll be talking with Evan Palazzo with Hot Sardines. Stay tuned. KPCW News Time now, 8:52. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, coming up this Saturday night at the Eccles Center, it's the Hot Sardines. On the phone to tell us a bit about more what to expect, I have band member Evan Palazzo, band leader, I guess. Good morning to you, Evan.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you doing?
Well, thank you very much. So I was reading that your debut album came out just a year ago, but it sounds like you and put together a band maybe 7-8 years ago.
Well, I would say that's partially true. But the form of the band you're seeing today, which is really something that came together in the last 3 years, is where we are on that, and we've been touring with the album since it came out in October. But yeah, it was a collective of a partnership that started with Elizabeth and myself, and she's one of our singers. And we found all these wonderful people in this great scene happening in New York with 20s and 30s and 40s jazz, and we found ourselves playing all around for these amazing parties and speakeasy events. And one thing led to another, and we found ourselves touring the United States and soon Europe. After we're with you, we'll be in Great Britain.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about the band. I mean, you mentioned yourself and then, did you say Elizabeth?
Yes, well, we are a collective of musicians. We have horn, tap, bass, drums, and piano, and vocals. So we're an eight-piece outfit, and guitar. And so we have three amazing horn players. We have Jason Prover, who plays trumpet, and Mike Sailors on trombone, and Nick Myers on clarinet and sax. And then we have Alex Raderman on drums, and we have Evan Crane on bass. And one of the most interesting things people can expect from our show is we have a tap dancer who was part of the rhythm section, and his name is Fast Eddie Francisco. And myself at piano, and I do vocals, and our guitarist is Bob Parrins, and he also does vocals.
Yeah, the promotion that we're running talks about, you know, playing the hits of the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah.
Is it just covers, or do you do your own music as well?
Well, we do play mostly, you know, somewhat off the beaten path, some of the great standards, but the American Songbook, a certain amount of originals. Probably we do two or three a night, but we pepper them in, but we feel very strongly that this music is so great on its own that we just like presenting it today for the 21st century with our own vibe and feel. And our own offerings sometimes are second to that goal, but we do have them, and we love writing original music.
All right. So can you give us an idea of some of the songs that we might hear Saturday?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be doing songs like From New Orleans, the Charleston. We do our own take on it, featuring our horn section. We'll be doing songs like Blue Skies, excuse me, a lot of Fats Waller-style music, Amos Behaven, and then also playing, you know, some romantic songs like a great tune, Midnight, the Stars, and You. And fast songs, all energetic. A lot of swing, Dixieland feel, and a lot of fun. We like to bring a party.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, you've been on tour since October. I noticed just through, like, the dates I saw since January, you have a number of sold-out shows. I mean, that's congratulations. So, I mean, given
Thank
that
you.
There's not too many, like, jazz radio stations anymore, I mean, how are you getting yourself out into the public? How do people know about you?
Well, we play for anyone who'll have us. I mean, we also are very lucky because we have a lot of people who believe in us, and we have quite a presence on the Internet. We also come from New York City, where, you know, a lot of music people are, and we got noticed doing this kind of music, and people have believed in us from the start, and we're thrilled with the response as we sort of take it outside of that sphere. And, yeah, we've been doing very well and selling out a lot and having the time of our lives, Leslie.
Oh, great. Again, Hot Sardines will be at the Park City Eccles Center this Saturday night. Showtime is 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at just $20. People can get more information at ecclescenter.org or by calling the box office at 435-655-3114. Evan Palazzo, the band leader of Hot Sardines, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.